Blog Talk Radio.
Experience the history, beauty, culture, and tradition of the martial arts at the world's first Martial Arts History Museum. Located in the city of Burbank, California, visitors will enjoy learning how Asian history became part of American history. For more information, visit our website at mamuseum.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the program, Martial Arts Talk Radio. I'm your host, Danny Venna. We had a little problem dialing in tonight, so we're just going to go through a video, and I hope you enjoy this. It's going to be nice. Let's go right to our history and my channel. We'll play a short video for you to have a little bit of a voice.
Puts the thumb up to strengthen the wrist. When we hit,
the Okinawan Ishinu Karate on the East Coast. So here to talk with us a little bit about the early days of training in karate and what it was like at that time is Master McGrath. Thank you, and welcome, and thank you so much for coming to speak with us today. You know, when I was talking to Master Nagel in an interview that we had done in the past, he said to me that it was very different to be one of the first people to bring a karate, a division of a karate to the United States, and that he'd be practicing in the dojo and nobody really knew what they were doing, and he'd have to, it was a different time. And I think that our viewers would be interested in hearing about those early days of martial arts when people in the United States didn't know that much about it.
I showed up in 1958, and he started the dojo in 57 after he came back from Okinawa.
How long was he? He was in Okinawa for 1 or 2 years.
I think he was in Okinawa for, he had to be in Okinawa for 18 months. That was a tour of duty at that time with the Marine Corps. You didn't go sooner, you didn't go later. The Marine Corps is strict about things. And he came back after having done very well in Okinawa. In fact, I think Tatsuo Shimabuku put Sensei Nagel, I'm not going to say used him, but he put him to use, settling some disagreements that he was having at the time, because when Tatsuo Shimabuku formed Ishinryu, one of the first things he did was to get rid of the twist punch and some other things that he did within our style and make it a more adaptable and easier to use style. That created some disagreements with his fellow senseis, even to the point of his brother and he having serious arguments about it. What he did then was not so much to coach them, but to allow Sensei Nagel to go to the other dojos and ask to compete against their people. And with Mr. Nagel's ability and skill, even as a white belt, let me just say something. Over the years, I've been asked how Sensei Nagel did the things he did on a deck, which were almost miraculous, some of the moves and techniques. It's my belief he was just God meant him to go to Okinawa and study Ishinryu Karate. And he was so natural that with just several months training, he knew it, he felt Ishinryu, and it worked from him. It was like a cat in a jungle that was that spotted a prey and did what came naturally. And I was often a victim of that, so I know what it was like. He walked into those dojos and wreaked havoc amongst the students in the other dojos. And finally, before he left Okinawa, he was still a white belt. And he won the championships in Okinawa, which got some fame in the Karate Kid movies. But that was unheard of, especially an American coming over and doing a thing like that. And that was the final nail that Tatsuo Shimabuku wanted to put in everyone's coffin, I think. And it made Ishinryu, it established Ishinryu as a solid style that gave it its enormous popularity over the years in the United States. When I met him in 1958, Sensei Nagel was only an 18 or a 19-year-old BSC or corporal. Corporal he was. I don't want to take a rank away from him. And there were very few officers in Marine officers in the dojo. The entire dojo was made up of Marines from Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. And we attended the school 5 days a week. 5 evenings, supposedly 2 hours a night.
Which is good, because the student trains in today's dojo. They come for a 1 hour class,
right.
1.5 hour class, twice a week.
That's right.
And they want to know how come in the past you got your black belt in 2 or 3 years,
well,
and it's taken them longer.
I was interviewed by Karate Illustrated magazine, and they did a cover on me in a story. That's one of the... he said, probably black belt in 9 months.
And that was the fastest in Mission Road at that time. I don't know if anybody's done it quicker. I think it would be very difficult under today's circumstances. But it was $5 a day. Usually you did your school work, and then we did what we were told, Sunday Nagel Toast practice on our own. So I would spend 2 or 3 hours every day on the trucks or throwing roundhouse kicks at tanks or whatever presented itself as a target. So I worked out about $5 a day, and that was 7 days a week. We swore to God that we were more likely to our wives that we were going to take Easter Sunday off 1 year, and everybody happened to show up at my house, just happened to have their gi, and I had some shots of us on my lawn on Easter Sunday fighting each other. But what you did then, they didn't have the tournaments, for instance, like Sensei Adler's tournament. Those didn't exist. Trophies didn't exist. Letters of appreciation existed. You had no equipment in those days. Many of the old shots that you'll, if you look at the old shots, the gis just barely reach below our knees because we were getting all this stuff from Okinawa.
High water pants.
Yeah, the high water pants. They looked like we were wearing pedal pushers.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no equipment. Mouthpieces or headgear or anything, and you didn't really pull the punch the way we do nowadays. Well, you'd be injured, and you just fought through it, and you kept on in the match because you wanted to win.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Marines are highly competitive as it is, so when you're on the deck and you've got Sensei Nagel and Sensei Ernie Cates, who was the judo instructor at the time in that dojo, watching you, you're fighting to win your match. I had in that dojo were not only Sensei Nagel and Sensei Cates, but also Don Bohan and Lou Lazat and Rick Namira and Chapman. Namira was a Ralph Bove also, and Bove and Namira were fearsome people. I was 6 foot tall, about 155 pounds at the time, pretty much as I am now. In those days, it was solid muscle, which it may not be now. But when I had to fight them, it was you could almost see my heart pound inside my ID because if they caught you with what they were throwing, you were going down and you were going to be injured. And luckily, I had spent a lifetime avoiding being hit in the streets in Brooklyn, Queens, and so.
Isn't that really a fundamental teaching in Ishinu Karate is the angles and not being hit anyway?
Yeah.
Not to take that point.
Right. I was taught by Sensei Nagel that the three principles were balance, speed, and your ki or your focus. And we attain focus, and I still teach the exact same way. Retain focus by having a beginner student not only snap his punch back, but to snap it all the way back to here, not like a foot, so that he learned that that had to be the reaction in at 60 or 70 miles an hour, back at 100 miles an hour. Now,
before you go on, you really
yep, it's embarrassing.
Punch somebody with that hand.
No. But it does bring back memories. I was responsible for breaking, for Sensei Nagel breaking, pushing his two knuckles back into the middle of his hand and having to wear a cast for over a month. He was breaking a whole set of bricks, a pile of bricks, I don't know how many, but he was concentrating because the key in Ishinru is to snap, touch, and away. Leaving the power of your body and the ki to flow through the brick. And just as he was throwing the punch that he had finally focused on, I said, Sensei, there's a phone call for you. And his hand just smashed into the bricks. And so he had a cast on for a month, and everyone in the dojo hated me because we were being hit with the cast. He had the cast changed, I don't know, maybe 12 times from each time you hit one of us, the cast would fall apart. And it was really horrible. And we were going to church just to pray that they would take the cast off his arm, so they'd only hit us with his knuckles. And that's, I guess, one of the points I want to bring across. You hit people and you drop them, and that's how you won the match. It was refereeing was very easy. There was no meeting. You didn't have to have a meeting before anyone fought to decide what the rules and regulations were, because there were no rules. Your opponent either went down and couldn't get back up, or he quit. And in the Marine Corps dojo, nobody quit. So it was tough out there. That's Page, Long Island, and I had a rather large class, maybe 35 people. And I had them all my students were tuned, Sensei Bohan's coming, my buddy coming back from Vietnam. And we were so close, Bohan and I, we called each other brother. And of course, you have to remember this was the 60s. And we called each other brother, and he came back to my home before he went anywhere else, stayed with me for 2 weeks when he came back from Vietnam. And so I brought him over to my dojo. And he was showing a technique in kata, and bunkai in kata. And during this move he made, he broke his ankle, because we had a mat, and in one area the mat was loose, and his ankle snapped. And when I went over and examined it, it was absolutely easy to see that he had broken one or several bones. And So I apologized to him, and then I apologized to the class, because this would be the end of class. I had to get Mr. Bohan to a hospital, and then Mr. Bohan said, no, you don't. Just step back. I promised everybody I'd fight the class, and that's what I'm going to do. And this is what made it so difficult fighting Bohan. Bohan would have bullet holes in him and not understand that something should be done about the injuries. And he fought my class, and they all regretted that he hadn't gone to the hospital afterwards, because when we went to the hospital, there were more of us than Bohan. Actually, that night, he didn't go to the hospital, and the following day, he went in to Queens and got his son, his own son, who was a little boy at the time, and we drove up to Rye, New York, to the Playland, Rye Playland. And he was in full uniform. He was a gunnery sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. And he walked around Rye Playland with no cast, with nothing on that ankle, other than his uniform sock and shoe. And we were there for a good 4 hours. Never complained. He went on all the rides with his son, and then we took him off to the hospital, where they patched his leg up. But that was the spirit of that dojo. And at the beginning, you were asking me what it was like, and that's part of what I'm going to put in my book. It was a in comparison to many of the dojos that I've been in since that time, especially the new dojos. I know that your teacher is Nick Adler. I was Nick Adler's teacher, and Nick also studied with Sensei Nagel for a time. And between myself and Sensei Nagel, Nick got that spirit, and he taught it to you, Marilyn. So you may run your dojo exactly the way we did. Now, I know with insurance and everything, you can't. You're not allowed to have blood on the wall.
I can stop if someone came and watched my class and asked me if I was in the military. I've never been in the military.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, but obviously that type of training that comes down through the military, I still be down at that point.
That's a good sign. The way we set up the dojo was a military fashion, but it was also the way Tatsuo Shinbuku taught on Okinawa. And he was